Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. With me in studio is Morgan Murphy. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
We had a busy week, didn't we?
Yes, yeah. Always a busy week.
Yeah. Matt, we had the great honor of yesterday at up at La Paloma, got to meet for an hour or so with John Gordon. What an interesting gentleman. He's the author of The Energy Bus.
Yes. I got to interview him a few weeks ago on The Morning Voice on one of the days when Tom was on.
And I got
the pleasure of talking to him and Lisa Chastain for their event today.
He's up there. As a matter of fact, it's happening right now. They're doing the Good Friday breakfast. And John's a great guy, and we're working on some projects at the University of Arizona with him. He spoke to my class on Thursday, and he was phenomenal. So I'm all pumped for a positivity here today. Well, this is a success, and success on Friday mornings. We talk about businesses and organizations and people who have been successful and been contributing to our community. And we got a couple of guests with us this morning. They make a great impression, I have to tell you that, because they print everything and anything and everything. Earl and Natalie Grissett, good morning and welcome to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, so you guys own Automated Pre-Sort Services. Our listeners will recognize that name because we do lots of commercials, and Bill Ackerley is in here and he does a testimonial for you. You guys have a wonderful business. Before we get started in talking about APS, digital print, let's talk a little bit about you all. What brought you to Tucson? So let's start with Earl. What brought you to Tucson?
Natalie.
Okay. Natalie, what brought you to Tucson?
Actually, I am from Tucson, born and raised.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so you found her in Tucson, and you came and found Natalie. Where were you from?
Actually, I'm from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh, very good. Good barbecue there, right?
Barbecue and seafood.
And golf, yeah.
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 But I came to Arizona via the military, Army, out of Fort Huachuca.
Oh, great.
And I met Natalie down here at the Air Force Base one night, and decided we were going to stay here forever.
That's great. And you have a legacy here. You got a college graduate now, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We're so excited.
We knew her when she was at Saguaro High School, right?
Yep. Saguaro High School.
Yeah. So you guys took over. Natalie, you've been at APS for a while, but you guys bought and took over APS from Mike. So tell us about whatever possessed you to decide to buy APS and become owners of a company here in Tucson. So what was the genesis of that decision to buy APS Digital Print?
I, upon reaching age of retirement from the Postal Service,
mm-hmm.
we needed something that could give us quality time together.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
do you regret the decision?
Not one second.
I say that my parents worked together for 50 years, and every day they would go home and sit down, and my dad would have a martini, and he'd tell her all about the day. Well, they were there together for 8 hours, and he'd still tell her about the day. So it's wonderful working with family, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And besides that, she's in the front office, I'm in the back doing the manual labor.
Right.
So there's a division there.
I like it. There is a wall and a door there, right?
Right.
She could either slam the door or you could just lock it, one of the two,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Natalie, you've been there a while, and we're obviously helping Mike, and then had the opportunity to purchase. Why? Why'd you buy?
Well, it was familiar for me. I've been there 14 years, so it's like, well, this is what you know, so why don't you purchase it? So, yeah.
That's great. So tell us what APS Digital does. Of course, it kind of started as a mailing house, but then there's so much more now. So tell us a little bit about what you do and how you do it.
Well, we do, when APS Automated Presort started, it was originally a mail house mm-hmm. for presorting mail, and then we got into printing. And so what we do is we had customers call us and ask, can you also print our letters that we're giving to you
mm-hmm.
and insert them and fold them and send them out? And so that's when the printing started.
Right.
So we print business cards, postcards, brochures, banners, things like that.
So. Right, right. And they still have the service, which is really important, which is direct mail, which is to take business to business or business to consumers, which is called B2C. So lots of companies, our company for one, still uses a tremendous amount of mail to get the information out to the target audiences. But one area that politicians use direct mail postcards on it, just like they're going out of style. And people still go to their mailbox every day and want to see what's in the mail.
Yeah.
Right.
It is. And they say about, you know, here I'm putting on my professor hat, but, direct mail is an interesting thing. If you get a letter with your name on it, they've done surveys on this. The chances, if it looks like it's directed to you, and it has your name on it, and it doesn't look like it's to occupant or something like that,
yes,
your chances of opening the letter are 100%.
Exactly.
Which is amazing. Now, you may only get 3 seconds with them when they open it up, but they'll open it up. And that's why, direct mail is one of the reasons it's so effective, but it's targetable and other things. So how do people, let's talk about the direct mail service itself. Why do companies come to you and have you facilitate getting a list and sending information out to customers and to business prospects and so forth?
Well, the reason why they come to us is they want to get their name out.
Right.
And so they want to saturate the area.
Right.
And in order to do that, they want to beat out their competitor. So
right.
they will do a direct mailer to do that. And so we also provide, like you said, a list service to where it can be a targeted list to a specific area, to a specific group of people, right, things like that. So
you can even get down to every door direct mail where you're
exactly
down as in a particular zone. You can be with just one carrier, one mailman or woman who is driving around in their car, their Jeep, and putting the mail in. You can get down as small as that,
yes,
footprint, which is called every door direct mail, and that means that every single address on that route gets a piece of mail.
Exactly.
And so it is amazing that the United States of America, I think it's still the only country in the world, I could be wrong here, but I'll say it because I'll pretend like I know what I'm talking about, is the only country in the world that delivers to every single address in the United States 6 days a week.
Yes.
Other countries do it weekly or a couple of times a week, but we're the only one that does it every single day, every single address, 6 days a week, which is, when you think about the enormity of that and this, the technical aspects of that, it's amazing that they get it. Well, you were there for a long time.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of mail that goes through Cherry Bell, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And so your plant is right next to Cherry Bell.
That is correct.
The main post office there. And God bless Richard Fimbres, who was wrapping up his time with the city council. He was one of the people that made sure that we got to keep Cherry Bell and not have all of our mail go directly to Phoenix to be distributed. So it's great that we still have the facility, sorting facility there. It's not as big and as robust as it once was, but it's still there. And that's where you guys drive around and take the mail to, is that facility, right?
Right. And we're that aspect of when they lost their processing capabilities, we pick up that ball and keep running.
Right.
Because the mail that we get, we call it OND, or overnight delivery.
Mm-hmm.
When we get your mail, it goes out the very next day to your client.
Right.
It doesn't go to Phoenix.
Right. And how did you get that designation? How were you able, just because of your connections and how you know how to do it? Well,
it's a bulk mail unit at the post office there, at the Cherry Bell plant. And if you go back before Mr. Fimbres, when we had the mail being processed in Tucson,
right,
it was considered that.
Right. But even your own regular mail, you'd put it in, it would stay in Tucson and then be sorted back out. Now all of that personal mail is going up to Phoenix, right?
Right. Yeah. Unless it goes through us. We're the only company in Tucson that has capabilities.
Wow.
Of giving your
overnight
mail,
basically.
Overnight mail.
Yeah, which is really important, and we need to be talking about that. That if you want your information out overnight, we've got that. Mm-hmm. You know, I watch Perry Mason, and I'm addicted to the 1950s TV shows, and they talk about they got mail twice a day, the morning mail and the evening mail. And when we were kids here in Tucson, Arizona, when we were just little guys, there were two rounds of mail in Tucson, believe it or not, in 58, 59, 60, we would get a morning mail run and then an afternoon mail run, but you know, not anymore. Well, that's great. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about what APS provides, what those other things are that APS can do for a company, and even sell specialty items as well and other things. So you've got a whole cadre of things that a business can do to share their image and share their information with the world. You have ways to do that. So we're talking to Earl and Natalie Grissett from APS Digital Print, formerly known as Automated Presort Services. Is one of the big things that they still do, which is that direct mail and bulk mail permitting. We'll be back after the break. This is The Morning Voice, and my name is Dr. Ed Ackerley, and that's Morgan Murphy. We'll be back after the break. Thank you, Matt Neely. What a great intro, signed, sealed, and delivered, and you're doing great with the bump music. We're with Earl and Natalie Grissett, the owners of APS Digital Print over at 22nd and Cherry Bell in that area. I guess it's called Cherry over there now. It used to be called Cherry Bell. So we'll talk, you know, you provide printing, all sorts of printing for different things, and we talked about business cards. You know, one of the things we get asked all the time is, can you make us some business cards? And so, Earl, you were talking that that's an important thing because you can get them done pretty quickly, right?
That is correct. You know, on most occasions, within 24 hours, we can get a set of cards going out.
Right, right. And if you order them online, it could be a week or 10 days to wait for them in the mail, but you can get them, come down, pick them up, even sometimes if need be, emergency, right away, right?
That's correct.
And that's the beauty of digital print. You can get it done. So, Natalie, but what if I don't know what my business cards are supposed to look like or what my postcard is going to look like or how it's going to be designed? Can you help in that realm?
We can. We have a design services at our office, so we can provide that for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially if you don't know what size the postcards are and what the
exactly.
template size is and so forth. It's good to have somebody that kind of knows what they're doing to arrange the artwork and put it. So we have an event coming up on the 24th, which is our next Eat and Greet at Proof Artisanal Pizza. Our friend Grant Kruger, who's the Wednesday host, is hosting us there at Proof, and I was talking to my brother Bill. We need some Morning Voice banners. Do you know where we could go to get some banners for the Morning Voice so that we could display them at Proof? So, do you guys know where I could get some banners?
Most definitely.
So you guys do banners, all kinds of banners, pull-up banners, vertical banners, horizontal banners, different kinds of material on the banners, different kinds of sign. And so, again, that's a service that is fairly quick, right?
That is correct.
You can, because of the way you print digitally, someone can come down and order a banner, and lo and behold, they've got a 3x6 banner in about a day.
Yes.
And those range in, you know, $100, $200 for a nice banner with a great design. Put it outside your door and get some good. And you guys put some banners up to show what they look like on your building sometime, which
yes,
is kind of nice.
Yeah,
correct, on the fence line.
Right, right. And so banners are important. What kind of consulting do you do? I know as when you think about direct mail and sending out, even if you try to do every door direct mail yourself on the USPS system yourself, and you go in and you try and touch the zip codes and so forth, it can get pretty daunting. It's not very fun to do, to be honest with you. It's kind of like doing an IRS April 15th tax form. When we go to you and say, here's a list or here's a targeted place, you take care of everything, right? And
correct.
All we have to do is say, here's what we want to try to do. And then you go and,
yes.
You're experts at this, so.
Yes.
So how does that work?
Well, how it works is you will give me a zip code, and then we'll narrow it down to a carrier route.
Mm-hmm.
So, or maybe an area you want. And once we do that, then I research and see how many homes or businesses in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And once we figure out how many you want to send out to, then we go from there.
Yeah, we gave you a challenge the other day where there was a down by sun sites in that area down to try and figure out how many homes were available in this one geographic area. And you guys had to do some pretty good research, but you were able to pull up how many people actually live in this geographic area, which was being affected by an ordinance, and they wanted to, one of the sides that was trying to advocate for their side wanted to send a letter to everybody in that particular area. And you found them. You found how many there were. And so if you don't know how to do that, then that's why we go to you and you make that happen. And people do, I go to my mailbox every day. I know I have students at the University of Arizona that go to their mailbox at the January 15th and May 15th, and they don't, they let it stack up. And do you look at your mail every day?
I love getting mail.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I get excited because I never get mail.
Yeah. I still teach my students that a handwritten thank you card is better than an email.
And, it is.
And put it in the mail. And thanking your customers. My mom used to have a tradition, which we should pick up again, Bill. She used to send out not Christmas cards, but she would send out Thanksgiving cards to all of our clients, thanking them for the business. And she did that religiously for many years. And kind of busted through the clutter because everybody else was sending out Christmas cards and we would send out a thank you card for Thanksgiving. But people do look at their mail, and mail is an important part. It's amazing how much business is being conducted through the mail still. And if you look at the USPS, but even the other providers, how much product is being delivered through the mail is a viable thing and an important thing and being part of it. So you retired from there, but...
Yep.
You didn't get away from it.
No. Still in the bloodline.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So anybody else in the family work with you in the business? You got any extended family that are working with you?
We have our grandson. He's going to be our successor, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And he comes down every school break and all summer long. And
oh, great.
He's in there doing what he can do to make it work.
He loves it, huh?
He loves it.
Yeah, yeah. It's great to work with mom and dad and grandpa and grandpa to work in a family-run business and learn it, because for one thing, you can start young. If you're a family member, you can start when you're 5 years old. You don't have to wait until you're 16, so that's good. So anything new coming up for APS? Any new products coming out? Any new technology you're working on? Anything? Like, are you printing shirts? Are you printing cups? Are you printing hats? Anything like that? Or specialty items?
Well, we just started our promotion for the feather flyers or banners.
Oh, those are important.
They're all over the road everywhere.
Right.
And we're doing that now special.
Okay. And those are 6, 10, and 12 feet tall. And they're called feather banners because they look like a feather when they're a vertical banner.
Right.
And you would provide the art services for that.
Yes.
So the creative services to whatever you wanted to say on it and get the... And, you know, you have to do it in such a way that it can be read both ways because it flips in the wind.
Yep.
So depending on how you do the artwork and so forth. And those are important. You know, the city of Tucson at one point didn't allow those, but now they do allow those. And it actually came out of COVID, believe it or not. After during COVID, people needed to put out A-frame signs and feather signs and so forth to let people know they're open.
Mm-hmm.
And so... at one point, you know, they were not allowing you to do that, but now they're everywhere, as you say. So,
right.
And how much does one of those cost? A couple hundred dollars probably for one of those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, a 8 feet is $119 right
That's
now.
A great buy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you have a brick-and-mortar business and you want to draw some attention to it, a feather banner is a really popular way to do that. And they're very creative and very, very beautiful. And then just a good old-fashioned printed postcards, which, you know, we use all the time. We think they're the greatest things. And you can have color on one side and a message on the back, or you can have color on one. You can have them folded. You could have them all different kinds of different ways. They really are powerful. One thing I like about postcards, specifically when we send down to the U of A, is that when it comes in the mail and it goes like an organization, anybody can see what's on it. So if it's for a company that's doing catering, for instance, it's not everybody can see the postcard. And so you get kind of a double, triple, quadruple impact of it because who's ever handling it gets to, and then whoever got it then can put it in the box of the person that needs it. So we use postcards all the time because we think that's a really powerful way. Well, we really appreciate what you do for The Morning Voice. You're our printer of choice, our Ackerley Advertising, and we appreciate, we have a I will say we do a little bit of work with Tony Terry. We've done some work with him. He does offset printing for some of the stuff that he does. But you guys have done so much of our direct mail and postcards, and you are our advertiser on The Morning Voice. So thank you for spending that $1 million that you're spending, Earl. I appreciate that. That's great. And we wish you more success as you build this little business and your grandson gets into it. And we thank you for coming in today and being part of. So you're, I guess I should have asked, where are you located? You're located at 22nd and Cherry, right?
Uh-huh.
On the south side of the street by the post office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you have a website?
We do. It's apspress.com.
And you open every day, Monday through Friday from?
9 to 5.
9 to 5. So that's working 9 to 5. Okay, yep. Great. Well, great. Thank you for being here. And I would be remiss if I didn't say happy Easter to you both and to
Same
your family.
To you.
Same to you.
Celebrate. It's going to be a great weekend. It's going to be wonderful. We're taking my my 93-year-old mother-in-law to bingo on Sunday. She loves my wife is addicted to pickleball, and my mother-in-law, my kid's grandma, is addicted to bingo. So I get to go to both on Sunday. So it'll be fun. Well, thank you guys, and we'll be in touch. And if you need some printing, call APS Digital Printing, Earl and Natalie Grissett. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I'm living my best life. That's a great one. Thank you, Matt, for your good work there in the studio. Good morning, Morgan Murphy. Good to see you again. With us for this segment is a great, great facility in Tucson and doing great work for community members. I'd like to welcome Brittany Sanfilippo. How are you, Brittany?
I'm doing well. I like how you said that. Good morning.
Non posso parlare italiano molto bene. So, Brittany, you work...
I'm married into it, so...
Oh, I see. Yeah. You work at a wonderful facility. People, I'm sure, are very familiar with it because they've probably driven by it many times. Called Via Hermosa, or Via Hermosa, as we say. And tell us a little bit about Via Hermosa, and it's located there at Speedway and Wilmot in the southeast corner, a beautiful facility. Tell us what Via Hermosa is.
So Via Hermosa is an independent and assisted living community here in Tucson. We have about 205 really beautiful apartments. It's in a great location. It's right across from Trader Joe's and Beyond Bread there, near Wilmot. So I'm sure you can't miss it when you go there. We are a part of a larger company called Senior Resource Group. We have 7 communities here in the Phoenix area. And those are the ones that I support. So I'm their regional sales support for Senior Resource Group. And Via Hermosa, I like to call it my home campus because I live here in Tucson, so that's the one that I'm going to be at the most.
Right. For people that might have a short-term memory, you're where the Smuggler's Inn used to be. So the Smuggler's Inn was a beautiful hotel for those of us who lived here a long time. And you've transformed that corner into a beautiful living space for people. I've been there several times. I got to do a presentation there one time for your residents, and it was... very fun, and boy, they are active, very active people that live there. So it's a great facility. So who are the types of residents that you, the 200 rooms, who fills those 200 rooms?
So all walks of life. And I think that's what makes us so unique is we have residents from all over the world, whether they, you know, came here just because they started, you know, being professors at U of A or they wanted to retire. We have just from every walk of life, and I think that is really what draws them. It's like a little Tucson, right, Via Hermosa, and that's what draws people here. It's Tucson. It's the culture, and that's really what Via Hermosa is, and I think that's what draws people to them. very independent. Whether right. you are getting supportive services mm-hmm. with our assisted living or you're in independent living, I tell people whether you're in independent or assisted living, it's nobody's business if you're getting care or not. No one would be the wiser. Mm-hmm. We like to say we are commingled. Nothing is segregated at the community. We have a beautiful restaurant where people dine together.
Right.
And everything is together. We do have something for everyone, but really it's a beautiful melting pot.
I will say your suites are just absolutely gorgeous. We had a friend, yeah. Carl Haupt, who was an author, and he and his wife lived there for many years. And his apartment or house, I mean, it was a mm-hmm. three-bedroom, yeah. I think it was. It was huge. And he held court there when a couple of times when we were working on some projects. And it is very, very comfortable and home-like and so forth. And it's not like what you would envision a home to be like. It's basically people have their own suites, own apartments, and they're decked out just like you would in a normal, you know, stick-built house kind of a thing. So I was impressed with the layout, and has a kitchen and, you know, the living room and a dining room and everything that you would want. It was amazing. So you have a very home-like atmosphere.
Thank you. Yes, I hear that a lot, and I love hearing that.
And the restaurant is also quite nice. You have a chef there, and you're making three meals a day, and it's a very popular place for gathering. A lot of community events take place in the restaurant, right?
A lot of community events, and families love to come join us as well. Absolutely.
Are you going to do anything special for Easter for families
yes.
and residents?
We actually, funny enough, Easter is probably one of our biggest celebrations, mm-hmm. The most family attendance. We do a gorgeous Easter brunch, and that starts around 10 to like 2 o'clock, so pretty much all day. It's beautiful. So yeah.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about, you know, as the most of the population that lives there would probably be what, over 50, 55, you know, I had ironically a gentleman that lives across the street from me, his wife passed away, and he is downsizing and getting ready, got rid of his big travel trailer, and they were in the other day taking out all of the tools that he had in the garage, and we were talking to him, and you know, he's lost his spouse, so he just wants to go to a place like yours and downsize and be amongst some other people so that he can, you know, be comfortable in as a single person again. So what do you do at Villa Hermosa to promote this wellness and this engagement and activity among residents?
Well, we are very lucky that we have a wonderful, what we call ZEST program. So that's our signature activity program. And what's so great about ZEST is it's activities, but it also encompasses in the dining. So we have a fresh ZEST. So fresh zest is something that we're very focused on, plant-based, whole foods. And so we have a special every single day. You know, sometimes you go to restaurants and you can get a grilled cheese and a Boca burger.
Right.
But this is just beautifully crafted vegan, vegetarian options.
Mm-hmm.
But our zest program is really simple. It's about bringing balance to each day. And that's personalized experiences focusing on mind, body, soul. So that's really important to us, your mind. So we have very engaging classes. We have Thoughtful Thursdays, many residents that host lectures.
Right.
Body, of course, moving your body. You got to move your body. Mm-hmm. And then your soul. So we have, of course, different religious activities, but also meditation and things of that nature.
I was in there. I wrote a book, so I was in there giving a presentation on my book. And at the time, there were book clubs or people that were, you know, sharing the same book and having activities around books. And that was kind of a neat activity to get people engaged in talking about something that they have common interest in.
Absolutely.
So you're located there at Speedway and Wilmont. And do you have any residents? You know, you talked about, you know, international residents and people who may have been at the U of A. Do you have any success stories of how they came to Villa Hermosa and how their life blossomed as they were sharing an engagement with the world? Is there anyone that stands out that, like, I think of Carl Haupt because he was amazing, mm-hmm. and he did a great job. Is there anybody else that stands out in your mind?
The first one that jumps out actually is just a wonderful success story, and they're still with us. Obviously, because of HIPAA, I can't use their name, so I just have to think of some different names for them. So I will call them Mary and Joe. Mm-hmm. And I think of a couple because I feel like couples, especially at Villa Hermosa, thrive so much.
Yes.
And that's because, of course, when you have a couple, you have two very different care levels or where they're at in their life. Mm-hmm. And really, we are able to cater to both of those needs. So Joe, that I'm thinking of, had a serious stroke, unfortunately, and complications that came out of that prior to moving in. And they were also on a very strict vegan diet, still are. And so understandably so, they were very worried about finding a community that can fit all of their needs because Mary was very active. And they wanted to make sure, is this going to work for both of us? And luckily, Villa Hermosa did. And this, I really think, was due to what I told you about Zest and mm-hmm. also that fresh Zest option. They really struggled visiting some other places to find a menu that worked for them. And they are just so happy. They are able to meet with the chef, give them feedback and ideas, but also the fitness option. Yoga is very important to both of them. Mary does floor yoga and Joe does chair yoga. And they just are really fulfilled with those different options for them. And they're just both happy and thriving.
That's great. It's all about building community and building resources for those people and the different level of service for different types of people. It's actually a beautiful facility. When you walk through the door, it is impressive to see what you've built there, and it's a great. When we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit more about Villa Hermosa and the families that stay there and a little bit of celebrating. We're talking with Brittany Sanfilippo, who is one of the regional outreach people for Villa Hermosa, and we'll talk about the success that your organization has had here in Tucson and in Arizona. We'll be back after the break. You're listening to The Morning Voice. Welcome back to The Morning Voice, talking about the good life at Villa Hermosa with our friend Brittany Sanfilippo, who is a regional sales director and community outreach person for Villa Hermosa and for their parent company, SRG Senior Living. Can you tell us a little bit about how family plays an important role in the lives of the people that are living? Like you talked about Easter being a big, important day, but family engagement is an important part of the community that that you talk about in building that engagement with your residents, right?
Plays a huge role. And we have an open door policy here, very important to Villa Hermosa and Senior Resource Group. And so what that means to our families and our residents is whenever possible, we want to be ready and available to talk to residents and family members. It should really feel like an extension of your family. Mm-hmm. Families should feel comfortable calling us and saying, I have this challenge. Can you please help me tackle it? Bettering the lives of their loved ones. And that's what we want it to feel like. We want you to come into the doors and want to give us a hug because, you know, we're doing this together.
Right. So we have a caller, Roberta, that wants to know if you take any government assistance like Section 8 or is it all private?
Our community is all private pay, but we have wonderful partnerships with some of the other communities. And we want to be able to help and assist you in that area. But unfortunately, no, we are all private pay.
So if someone came and was inquiring and needed some help, you would be able to help refer them maybe to some places that they could go that they could get some of that kind of help, right?
Absolutely.
Great. And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, say because every living situation is different and every needs are different and so forth, so it's hard to put a range on. But you can live comfortably at Villa Hermosa for a reasonable amount of money on a monthly basis, which includes activities and restaurant and so forth. And some people might feel that that's a little bit out of their obtaining that opportunity. But there's lots of people that it's affordable living when you think about
all the services that are available that you might have to go elsewhere if you're living in your own home. This provides an option where it's all inclusive, kind of like a cruise, if you will, where you, depending on what you need, you have it all in one place, right?
Absolutely. And if you come visit, which I hope you will, there is a lot of resources that we can provide. One of those is a cost comparison sheet. And those are really helpful to families that are looking, because there is a section that says, okay, what are my expenses now? And it's kind of surprising when you put it on paper, the home maintenance, mm-hmm. electricity, utilities, when things break, all of those
insurance
are included.
Yeah. Yeah.
Insurance, I mean, the list goes on, right?
Right.
And
right.
So we're able to provide those resources. Of course, there's no one-size-fits-all community. It has to feel right. It has to feel good. Mm-hmm. But we're able to go through that with you and see if it would be a good fit. And hopefully it is.
Do you offer local transportation as well?
We do. We have a wonderful transportation department. We have three drivers that are all just lovely people. And we go in about a 6 to 7 mile radius, which here in Tucson gets you pretty much everywhere, mm-hmm. believe it or not. And we're able to go to the VA. That's very important as well. Mm-hmm. And accommodate most transportation needs, and it's 7 days a week.
Yeah, so whether it's a morning or afternoon doctor's appointment, or whether you do want to go to the U of A and pick up a show or a something that the U of A is offering, or go to church or something like that, you would be able to be transported by the drivers, and that's a really convenient thing. Even just to go over to Trader Joe's and get some vittles, it's nice to have.
Absolutely.
Nice to have that convenience. If someone is considering senior living options for themselves or for a loved one, and looking for that kind of thing, what would they need to do to engage with Villa Hermosa and your folks?
You can give us a call directly at the community. That's probably the best way, or come down and see us at 6300 East Speedway Boulevard. We have a lot of great resources on our website as well. Mm-hmm. So
do you have,
everything's a great option.
Yeah. Do you have any open houses scheduled or anything, or is it a one-on-one tour where you call and you come in and you take them on a tour on their own, or do you schedule tours? Obviously you schedule tours for individuals, but is there an open house where you're going to be doing more of a community-wide thing where more people can come?
We have open houses quarterly, once
right.
every 3 months. Mm-hmm. But we also are starting to launch our Lunch and Learns again. So mm-hmm. if anyone would be interested in learning about our Lunch and Learn, which is in a group setting, mm-hmm. some people are more comfortable starting there, and that's fine. Those are going to be held maybe once a month right now, but you can certainly give us a call in and we can share with you the next available date for that.
Okay, great. That's a great, great option. I think that's a nice way to kind of dip your toe in the pool and get some information with other people there with you. So what's new on the horizons for, are you guys going to open any more locations in Tucson? You got some in Phoenix. Are you going to open any more down here, or any plans for growth, or just maintain the great level of service that you have and the properties that you have?
Not that I'm aware of right now, but we have a wonderful acquisitions department at our corporate office in Solana Beach. Mm-hmm. And so who knows? You know, our CEO, Michael Gruss, I love that he says this. We never wanted to be the biggest. We've always strove to be the best. And he really means that. So growth yeah. is calculated and really thought out. But who knows?
Yeah, it's a beautiful facility, and the couple of times I've been there, it's just like this reminds me of a place that I would want to send my grandparents or my folks or even myself someday. That's the kind of place I would live. So Brittany Sanfilippo from Villa Hermosa, thank you, and thank you what you do to take care of our community members. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great Easter. We'll be back after the break with Wonder from the University of Arizona. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM.
At 8 o'clock, we'll look at your news headlines. I'm Matt Neely on 1030 The Voice. Jacob Couch, the victim of a brutal hatchet attack in Tucson earlier this month, has passed away. Jacob's family confirmed that he died yesterday, mere hours after a vigil was held for him outside Banner University Medical Center in Tucson. The family said his heart gave out. Jacob, 32, had been on life support since he was attacked at a streetcar stop in downtown Tucson. One man was fatally electrocuted, another seriously injured in an industrial accident in Pima County yesterday. It happened along Pecos Way between Thornydale Road and Lambert Lane around 8 a.m. Dominic Herbert, 20, died, and Diego Miranda, 22, was injured when a power pole was knocked down and fell along with electrical wires into a ditch where they were working. Both were employed by JW Civil, a Tucson construction company. Authorities, including OSHA and local fire departments, are investigating. JW Civil has no prior safety violations. Governor Katie Hobbs said that she will not sign any new bills until the legislature passes protections for people with disabilities. The Arizona Division of Developmental Disabilities faces a $122 million shortfall and may run out of funds by month's end. Hobbs urged lawmakers to pass a bipartisan supplemental funding bill and said any bill not already on her desk will be vetoed. Pope Francis and Rome's Chief Rabbi Riccardo De Segni exchanged warm Easter and Passover greetings, continuing their tradition of interfaith friendship. In his Holy Thursday message, the Pope extended heartfelt blessings to the Jewish community as it prepares for Pesach, recalling God's deliverance of his people. He expressed a desire for continued divine protection and asked for prayers. Rabbi De Segni responded with Easter wishes, emphasizing shared spiritual celebrations and expressing hope for Pope Francis's improved health. Both leaders reaffirmed their commitment to unity and mutual support during challenging times. And according to ArizonaDesertSwarm.com, after 3 days of competition, a three-way tie for first place made a sudden death playoff between Arizona, ASU, and Oklahoma State necessary to decide the Big 12 Women's Golf Championship. The Arizona Wildcats prevailed, taking the first Big 12 title in its debut season in the conference. Tucson weather, another windy day on tap, 28-mile-an-hour gusts out of the southwest. 1 week after our first 100-degree day, we're looking at a high of only 74 degrees. Breezy tonight with a slight chance of overnight showers, a low of 50 degrees. Slight chance of showers again tomorrow morning, then clearing with a high of 72 degrees. 81 and clear skies for a beautiful Easter Sunday. Next week, daytime highs wrap right back to the high 80s, so enjoy the weather while you got it. We're closing in on the 60-degree mark under sunny, clear skies in Tucson. Now back to the Morning Voice with Dr. Ed Ackerley.
Welcome to the Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, and this is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. We'll start by saying welcome to Morgan Murphy from the University of Arizona, who is a Master of Marketing student. About 30 more days left before you get your degree.
Yes, a little less than 30, actually.
Yeah, you're doing a great job, and we're rooting for you and know that you're going to do great things in the world. I also just want to mention that we had a great meeting with John Gordon yesterday. John Gordon is the author of The Energy Bus. He has 17 New York Times bestsellers. Right now, about this time, he's giving the keynote speak at the Good Friday Breakfast up at La Paloma with our friends from the Gospel Rescue Mission, and it was just really wonderful to have a session with John Gordon, and we're planning some exciting things at the University of Arizona with him, and he did speak to my class on Thursday and did a great job. So we talk about a wonder. We talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona, and one of those things is research and development and things that help the community in so many different ways. And one of those are people not only here in Southern Arizona, but around the world sometimes get affected by strokes and medical conditions and so forth. And so having researchers at the U of A be able to delve into some of that and provide some answers and some diagnosis and some prognosis for things that might happen in the future to help. With us this morning is Dr. Anita Keeler. She is a researcher in the area of aphasia and speech and so forth. And so welcome, Dr. Keeler. Welcome to the Morning Voice.
Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
Great. Before we get started and talk a little bit about your research, could we share a little bit about your background? You just told me where you were from and your kind of your route to get to the University of Arizona. If you could just give us a little bio on where you came from and your journey and making it here to the University of Arizona.
Sure, of course. So I was born originally in Poland, and then when I was 18, I moved with my parents to Canada, and we live in Toronto, Canada. And I went to graduate school at the University of Western Ontario, which is in London, Ontario. And after finishing my graduate degree, I moved to Northwestern Chicago, where I did my postgraduate training in aphasia and neuroimaging. Then I moved back to Toronto and did another postdoc on neuroimaging of language. And after that, I moved to Arizona to work at the University of Arizona and to do research and to teach and also to help people, hopefully, with my skills who were affected by stroke or other progressive aphasias.
Interesting. What prompted you in your life to decide to go to work in the language disorders and neuroscience space? Why did you choose that? You could have chosen a lot of different things to go into, but you decided to do that. What was the catalyst to move you in that direction for your education and your specialty?
I was always interested in how a brain is functioning and how it's processing different cognitive function. And the language is very unique human cognitive skill because we use it every day to communicate, to work, to pass messages. But it requires a lot of machinery of the brain. And it also requires many other skills that we have, like ability to remember, to retrieve words, attention. So when those abilities break down, we want to understand what happens. Why do they break down in specific way that they do? And especially in progressive aphasias, why those regions are specifically affected that process language.
Interesting. So we're talking with Dr. Anita Keeler. Can you tell us just in general, if someone is not familiar with the word aphasia, what that means from a layman's perspective? If someone is afflicted with aphasia, what does that mean?
Aphasia is loss of language ability, and usually it's acquired. It can result from an accident, brain injury, but most often stroke. Or also there are progressive aphasias that happen over time as a result of a brain losing cells, neurons. Mm-hmm. In aphasia, people can have difficulty with speaking. They can lose ability to understand language, and also they can have problems with reading and writing.
Interesting. Does that mean that their cognitive ability is still there, but that the communication ability is maybe diminished somewhat, and so they maybe can think what they want to say, but they can't say it, or they don't understand what is being told to them, but yet their cognitive ability is there? It's kind of an interesting trap that they're in, correct?
Exactly correct. So with aphasia, cognitive ability is preserved most times, but the specific problem is with language. So those things can dissociate, and people still have ability to think and process information, but the language is difficult. So saying things and understanding, finding words to speak can be difficult.
So part of that goes to what you were talking about earlier, which is the mechanics of the brain, mm-hmm. and the mechanics of what has to happen in order for the diaphragm to work and the air to come out and the words to be formed and the sounds to be made and all of that. That takes a lot of neurons firing in the brain to make that happen. And if you lose part of that ability, that doesn't mean though that your other parts of your brain can't function and have that cognitive ability. It just means that you're a little bit short of ability in that one area of speech. And so that becomes the focus of what you're trying to do with the treatment that you've come up with. So let's talk a little bit about your novel treatment for primary progressive aphasia. Tell us a little bit about this research and what your recent study showed.
Sure. Sure. So in a recent study, we work with people who have primary progressive aphasia. So it doesn't, it's not caused by stroke, but it is a neurodegenerative disorder. It, people can lose ability to speak or understand language over time. And there is currently no treatment, pharmacological treatment. There is no drug that mm-hmm. can cure this problem. The most treatments, they use speech language therapy, which involves working with speech therapists in the professional setting and working on retrieving specific words or scripts, like, for example, how to order in restaurant, how to what to say at the bank to do business. But these treatments can be effective for those specific things that are trained, but often then don't transfer to other skills. So what we try to do is to use a treatment that addresses underlying problems that people have. So linking sounds of language, which we call phonology, with ability to form words. And also this phonology is important to put letters into words and to translate between letters and sounds and letters for reading and writing. And in addition, we combine this behavioral treatment with transcranial direct current stimulation. It's also called TDCS. And this technique involves attaching electrodes to a person's head, and a very small current is passed between the electrodes. So person can hardly feel it. They may feel a little bit tingling or itching initially. And while they're undergoing therapy, behavioral therapy, their brain is being stimulated with this small electric current. And the idea is that the stimulation, when applied to strategically to the brain regions, will boost effects of behavioral therapy. And what we found was that people who received this active electrical stimulation, they showed better response to treatment, and also they maintained the effects for longer time.
Very interesting. Am I right in making the assumption that part of this training of the brain and so forth is to use other areas of the brain to compensate for the damaged part or the what has diminished, and that you're training the very capable brain to take over some of these things to in order to be able to communicate?
It is true. Some of the some of it could be compensation, so that we are trying to involve brain regions that perhaps are still preserved, but a lot of it is also trying to sort of re-engage those areas that are preserved, because in PPA, which is kind of like Alzheimer's disease, except affects language, the areas are not completely gone. So they're still there, but there is some loss of neurons. So by engaging those areas that are still active but might be affected, we're trying to preserve the preserve the ability for longer time.
Very interesting. When we come back after the break, let's have a little more of a discussion on your research study on treatment for primary progressive aphasia and what the future looks like for studying people who have diminished capabilities in communication, and what your research will look for in the future. We're listening to The Morning Voice, and this is Wonder, where we talk about the good things at the University of Arizona. We're with Dr. Anita Keeler. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I'm Dr. Ed Ackerley, along with Morgan Murphy. Good morning again, Morgan.
Good morning.
We've got an event coming up on the 24th at Proof Artisanal Pizza. We call it our Eat and Greet. We invite listeners to come out and meet the five hosts of our show, our Monday through Friday host, Lydia, Ted,
Grant, Tom, and myself, and you, of course, Morgan, you'll be there. That'll be your graduation party. We'll throw you a graduation party. And so we hope you'll join us. That's the 24th, a Thursday from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at Proof Artisanal Pizza in St. Philip's Plaza. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things going on at the University of Arizona. With us is Dr. Anita Keeler. She is with the College of Science, Speech and Language and Hearing Sciences. She's also director of the Language and Neuroimaging Research Laboratory. And her recent research is about novel treatment for primary progressive aphasia. And we've found out what aphasia is and how the this treatment is helping people. And we take for granted sometimes, don't we, Dr. Keeler, that about you were mentioning going to the bank or going to the doctor and telling them what hurts or just what do you want for lunch kind of thing. Those are all, we take that for granted. But people who suffer from aphasia, this is a real challenge for them in their life, right?
Correct. So we use language all the time and it's so effortless. But when people have difficulty finding the right word and saying it, or they just have difficulty reading and writing, that becomes really traumatic for them because we use written language all the time. We send texts, we read announcements, road signs, and we do that without thinking. But once disability breaks down, then we can notice how many different cognitive skills we need to use language.
Right, right. So your research results showed that this new technique of improvements in language function, when you stimulate a little bit and then you use this treatment that you've used of speech-language therapy and non-invasive brain stimulation, that there's some benefits that this helps over a period of time, right? Even months after the treatment, they're still able to communicate. And so this is a treatment that has some long-lasting potential benefits, right?
That's correct, potentially. So what we really want is for treatment to transfer to related skills, but also to sort of persist after the therapy is over, after people go home. So what we found that when we use this electrical stimulation, people who received that treatment with speech therapy, they were able to maintain skills for longer time. When we tested them after 2 months after they finished the treatment, they still were benefiting. And that was that was 6 months since the treatment started. So it's quite a long period of time in primary progressive disorder.
Right. We're talking with Dr. Anita Keeler. She is with the College of Speech and Hearing Sciences at the University of Arizona. You know, I'm going to tread lightly here, and I don't want to get into a political discussion, but I just have a practical matter to ask you, and that is with the recent federal pulling of funding to research and so forth, how are you and your colleagues being affected by the potential that some of your studies might be terminated or stopped temporarily as this all gets sorted out? And again, I want to stay away from the political side of it, but just from the actual work that's being done on behalf of the community and the world. How does this, are you nervous, and what is the outlook for you and your team?
Yes, of course, we are constantly watching the situation, and the situation affects the students, affects the patients that we're working with and their families. And it's really important to us that that people that we're working with and others can benefit from what we do. And without funding, it's very difficult to do research. So we really hope that our funding continues, and we can support, our participants, patients, and also develop treatments for them that would benefit them and their families.
Our new president, Dr. Suresh Garamella, has given us a pathway for the university to overcome any financial difficulties that they had in the last few months. And so hopefully we can weather the storm of that as well as the federal funding issues and continue this great research that's being done at the University of Arizona on behalf of so many patients and people that need this kind of work. obviously, one of the challenges is funding, but were there any other challenges as you do this non-invasive and speech therapy together combined for progressive aphasia? Was there any other challenges that your team faced when you're conducting this research, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, sure. There are many challenges when we start a new project. But one of the things that is challenging is that the primary progressive aphasia is relatively a new disorder in terms of clinical presentation. So it's always existed, but it has been clinically described in somewhere in 1980s. So relatively new in the area, and it's not often recognized clinically, and sometimes people can be diagnosed initially as having Alzheimer's or other dementia, and then they are unable to receive speech therapy. So it is challenging to identify patients for the study because a lot of them don't come to us with the diagnosis of primary progressive aphasia initially. Mm-hmm. So we have to do a lot of work to figure out what the deficit is that the person has, and then we apply and then individually we adjust the treatment to fit person's situation or their deficit. So that takes a long time and a lot of expertise. So we are a small team, so we sort of eat this individual attention allows us only to work with a small group of people at the time.
Right, which was leading me to my next question, which was scalability. Once you have concluded this research and you make some recommendations and hopefully get some more funding to broaden the research a little bit over the next few years, what is needed to make this treatment more widely available so that more people can benefit from this great treatment that you've researched and have some great success with? Where does it move from here in order to make it accessible to more people?
Sure. So we are working on grant applications to hopefully receive more funding so that we can scale up and we can involve more people, and also we can offer the treatment to more people with aphasia and also post-stroke aphasia, but different variants of primary progressive aphasia. And the long-term goal is to be able to transfer this to the clinical setting so that the clinicians could administer the treatment. TDCS is quite, compared to other techniques, is quite not expensive. And also clinicians could be trained to administer that safely and effectively. So I think what we need is the larger scale trials so that this treatment can be FDA approved for treatment of aphasia, and also awareness and training of the clinicians that come to this area so that they can are able to administer the treatment this way.
Very fascinating information. If someone wanted to reach out and get more information about what they go to the Speech and Hearing Sciences website, and they can look up your name and get in touch with your team, right?
Exactly. They can go to a Speech, Language, and Hearing Sciences website at the University of Arizona, and we have a website, and our contact information is there.
Great. Well, thank you for all the good research. This brings it home to my brother and I. Our mom had a mild stroke and had aphasia and had to kind of relearn how to speak in her later years, and it was great to have the resources of the University of Arizona helping us with that. So thank you for what you and your team do to improve the lives of people who have faced this kind of difficulty in their lives. So great research, and this is another example of wonder of how research at the University of Arizona directly affects people who live in our community and around the world. So, Dr. Anita Keeler, thank you for joining us this morning on The Morning Voice.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to to be here and talk to you.
We'd love to have you back and have you give us an update on how things are going in the research world as you continue to do research on progressive aphasia. So this is The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break with one of my previous students who is now in a great career doing great work in our community. Vanessa Valencia will be here. You're listening to The Morning Voice. My name is Dr. Ed Ackerley along with Morgan Murphy. We'll be back with you on KVOI 10:30 a.m. after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about the great things going on at the University of Arizona. We talk about research. We just talked about some great research. We talk about graduates like Morgan Murphy, who's going to be graduating in less than a month. So good luck on that.
Thank you.
We're having a party for you on the 24th at Proof Artisanal Pizza. And so we hope everyone comes. And
yes, everyone come to my party.
Yeah, it's the eat and greet. It's going to be fun. So we'll have you there. And one of the things I get to do is I get to teach at the University of Arizona. I've been there, believe it or not, almost 35 years now. And enjoy the opportunity. Just yesterday, met with John Gordon, and he had spoke to my class. He's the author of The Energy Bus, and we were talking about how privileged we are to be able to instruct students and change their lives. And one of the people that's here with us this morning is a U of A alumnus and one of my favorite students. Did I ever tell you were my favorite student at the University of Arizona? I always tell that. I ask people that question. Did I ever tell you you were my favorite student? Like, oh, no, Dr. Ackley. I just asked a question. Did I ever tell you that? Is what I
fell for that one.
You did fall for that one time. This is Vanessa Valencia. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning.
You are a wonderful graduate of the University of Arizona Eller College, and now you're pursuing your love of marketing and advertising in the real world here in Tucson, working at a fantastic company called the Caliber Group. Tell us what you do there.
So I'm the media coordinator there.
Mm-hmm.
I work with our media partners in town to get our message out to local businesses in town.
Great. So you chose the media side of the agency. So in an advertising agency, of course, there's the executive team that's ownership and so forth that created the agency. And then there's the sales side, the people that go out and beat the bushes and try and get clients to come in and be part of the agency team. And then there's also some important things like production and so forth. But one of the really important things is getting the right message to the right form of media at the right time and making sure that it's paid for in the most effective way. So that's what your job is, right? To try and coordinate that whole entire jigsaw puzzle of media, right?
Yes, I work with my team very closely to navigate all of that comes with that, from the research to execution and learning all the ins and outs of all the media channels.
Right. When we talked the last time on air, you were working at Caliber, but congratulations. They gave you a promotion, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it? And you've just been there a little while, about 2 years now?
It's about 4 years now this year.
Amazing. And they've given you a promotion, and we had a great celebration. You and I saw each other at the 85th anniversary of the Tucson Advertising Federation, or AAF Tucson, it's called, American Advertising Federation Tucson now. And there was, I said, you know, it was a celebration for us, right? It was, well, it was for you and me. They threw that party for us, right?
It was only for us, yes.
Yeah, and it was great to see you there, and it's great to see all the past presidents, and many of the people from your team were there, and that was good to see them as well. So, as you move through the advertising industry and as you're growing in your career and what you learned at the University of Arizona, what excites you most about the work that you're doing today?
So what's really exciting and rewarding for me is to be able to work with some of the nonprofits in town and get their message out to the stakeholders and those in need.
Yeah. You guys do a lot of that too. You do a lot of nonprofit work and help a lot of Girl Scouts for one, and the lots of different ones that you have. And you and Mary and the team do a great job of promoting nonprofits. That's part of what the agency business does, is give back to the community in that way, right?
Yes, and also it's been fun being a part of the sponsored interviews that I've been involved with in translating and to reach the Hispanic market and prepare the clients. I had a lot of experience at Eller with back-to-back presentations, so that prepared me for that.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I just took the American Advertising Federation National Student Advertising Competition was up in Phoenix last weekend, and we took a team up there, and it's interesting what the judges say almost every single year. This is my 40th year of doing it, and almost every single year the judges mention what great presenters that our Eller students are, and you had that great experience of learning how to do presentations one after another after another after another. It's a great skill to have, though, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. It was one every week nonstop, but it was exciting.
Yeah, and you use that in your work today. So Caliber works with a wide range of clients, so you're helping lots of businesses in Southern Arizona and in the state with their marketing and advertising and promotional and public relations messages. You talked a little bit about helping with the translation and so forth, but also with the nonprofits. Give us a couple of projects that you worked on recently that you're kind of proud of. Well, you guys won some awards, obviously, at the Addy Awards. So, what are some projects you've worked on that you're excited about?
Mainly, I'd say it's when we get something that's rushed and it's last minute, and it might be a new channel or something, right? And we have to just use all the resources, do the research, work together as a team, not just in media, but also with other departments within the agency to figure it out and make it happen for
us. It's really exciting, isn't it? It's an exciting industry because what you're doing is basically solving problems day in and day out for companies who are trying to market their message. Earlier this morning, we had APS Digital on, which is one of our sponsors, and they, you know, their job is to try to disseminate that information through direct mail and so forth. And this is really important because, you know, if you have a great business and you have a great idea, you have a great price structure set up, and you got a warehouse full of stuff, you don't tell people about your what you got. It doesn't really matter.
They don't know you exist.
Yeah, and so your job is to make sure that people, customers and potential customers, know what the company is offering, and then you get to come up with the creative ideas to promote that. That whether it's a nonprofit or whether it be a for-profit company.
Yeah, and we are a full-service agency, so we do also do creative work there as well. So seeing it come to life is very rewarding.
That's kind of fun too. How do you? Obviously, you're working over in the media space, which is also very creative because you have to be extremely creative to fit the puzzle pieces together in the budget that you have available in order to disseminate the information to the potential target markets. I sound like a professor. I sound like I've done this for a living. but that's really important, isn't it, to be creative within the structure of a job that is kind of scientific in nature and kind of budgetary restricted and so forth, but you still can be creative within that whole domain, right?
Oh, for sure. You have to be able to pivot. You have to be able to move quickly and fit those puzzles in.
Right. So you've been at Caliber for 4 years, and would you like to sample some of the other sides of the house? Would you like to be an account rep someday? Would you like to move in a different direction? Do you want to stay in the media side, or do you want to be in, have them turn the keys over to you someday and be an owner? What is your goal at Caliber? What do you want to do next?
For now, I'm happy being in media. I really, really enjoy learning everything there is. It's an evolving nonstop. You know, the industry is always moving pretty quickly, shaping. Everything just changes from one day to the next. So I really want to take my time and learn all there is to media first, and then go from there.
Right. I need to get you in, by the way. Remind me of this. I need to get you into the ad team, and you can't give them specific advice on the campaign that we work on an annual basis, but you could come in and talk to them about what you do and how you do media and how media works in advertising and so forth. And but quite frankly, it's one of the things when we talk about this, when we're teaching advertising in class, we don't give the media buying and the budgeting and so forth as much love as maybe we do creativity and leadership and all the other things that we talk about in advertising, because it is kind of a finite skill. And for instance, in your group, there's probably two or three of you that concentrate on the media side, and the rest of them are doing the other things, right?
Yeah, we have a media team.
Yeah, and so the specialization is an interesting thing. So what got you into thinking that media would be the thing to do? Because when you're in my class, you were obviously one of the better students and very creative and had lots of different options. What kind of moved you into that space of media buying and selecting media for customers?
Well, have you heard of the show Mad Men? I'm just kidding. No, just being involved. I've always loved to work with people and mm-hmm. understand how different people operate, what how they think, what they need. I guess one of the examples of work that I had was working at a med spa. Mm-hmm. And that was my first actual taste into marketing, even mm-hmm. though I wasn't studying yet. Coming in to that med spa, you know, having no experience there, I started to ask the questions, what makes us different than most med spas? Who's our demographic? What do they need? What do they want? Learning about the products, selling and pricing and, you know, creating specials and even, you know, being involved with the presence back then in social media that we didn't have. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting to see what the different wants and needs were for all the different clientele we had, you know. And it's an interesting industry, but the reward, it's very rewarding to see the client walking out feeling more confident.
That's fantastic. When we come back after the break, we're talking with Vanessa Valencia from the Caliber Group. She's a U of A alumnus, one of my star students at the University of Arizona. We'll come back and talk a little bit more with Vanessa about what it's like being in media at a major agency in Tucson in southern Arizona. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're talking about advertising and media. I got two of my favorite students here with me. Hello there, Morgan Murphy.
Hello, how are you?
You're the CEO of Ackerley Advertising for another 29 days, and then we'll see what happens after that, right?
Yes, after my party that you're throwing for me at Proof.
Proof on the 24th, 5:30 to 7. We're with Vanessa Valencia, one of my other great students, who is a great representative of the University of Arizona, doing great work at the Caliber Group in your fourth year now. And we were just talking a little bit about interns, and it's important that students who are just starting out in the business, they get some training, and because it's a very dynamic business, so internships is a great way to kind of get you. And that's how you got started at Caliber, right?
Yes, I started through Pima, actually. I started at Caliber, and I continued on through Eller, but it was a great to foot in the door.
I was telling Morgan when you were just coming in that what words did I use? That she was very astute student and took your education seriously, and you wanted to get everything out of every class that you came to. And I wish I had more students like that, to be honest with you, because many times they're buried in their laptops and not paying attention many times. And I think everybody should take something away from every single experience at the U of A every day as a student and learn from that. So you're in a creative community. Why haven't you left Tucson? Why are you still here? Why didn't you get on the plane like it seems like everybody and their sister gets on the plane and gets out of Tucson immediately after they graduate? You're one of the rarities who's stayed with us and is doing great work. Why'd you stay in Tucson?
Well, Tucson is home base. Tucson has a lot of community. It's very interconnected in so many ways. And, you know, getting to know a lot of different business owners, it's very interesting to see their insight of some of the challenges they might face locally and some of the solutions. Mm-hmm. Also, it's just very rewarding to, you know, serve our local businesses and be a part of their success.
I threatened you earlier that I was going to drag you along to some of the events I go to. I go to so many in the course of a year. It's amazing what my calendar looks like. And I'm going to drag you along to meet some more of those businesses and those organizations that reach out for assistance and help. So looking ahead, what are your goals in the advertising industry, and where do you want to make some impact?
Well, I want to continue to, you know, learn more about the ins and outs of media and everything that I have to learn there. I hope to be more involved with the community.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I just want to continue to serve as a motivational example to non-traditional first-generation college students.
Es muy importante porque hay muchas personas aquí que son estudiantes. And see, I do pretty good for a guy that doesn't really know how to speak Spanish. I make it sound like I know how to speak Spanish.
Sí, sabes hablar español.
Un poquito, sí. Well, we are just so proud of you. We're proud of you, Morgan Murphy. We're proud of you. We're going to have a going away a show with you before you head out. But Vanessa, we're so proud of you and what you're doing at the University of Arizona with students that need help and assistance. I refer them to you, and you're just so gentle and kind and pushing them in the right direction. We appreciate that. And you were once a student, and you know what it's like, and you're doing great work at Caliber. And it was so great that the advertising community threw us a little party to celebrate.
Only for us.
Only
yes.
For us. The two of us were the ones that were actually celebrated, so it was fantastic. So it's good to see you.
Thank
Tell
you
all
so
the
much.
Crew back at Caliber I said hi. There are a bunch of wonderful people over there. They're great people, and you got a great agency that you're working for, and good luck with you there as you go that. And Feliz Pascuas.
Feliz Pascuas. Thank you for having me
okay,
on.
Thank you. And we've got an event coming up on the 24th. Where's that at?
That is at Proof.
And that's up in St. Philip's Plaza, right?
If you haven't been to Proof, the food is great.
It is fantastic. And we're going to do a little eat and greet with Lydia Randa, our Monday host, General Ted Maxwell, our Tuesday host, Grant Cougar, our Wednesday host, and owner of Proof, and Tom Moulton, our Thursday attractions guy with Southern Arizona Attractions. And
I'll be there.
And Visit Tucson. And
the most
you'll
important.
Be there. And Vanessa, you come to that, too.
I'll
want
join.
You
I'll celebrate
there.
For Morgan.
Okay. That'll be the 24th from 5:30 to 7 at Proof in St. Philip's Plaza. You'll be able to meet the on-air hosts and have a delicious meal and share some community with all of our friends. So thank you all for being with us today on the Morning Voice. Coming up Monday, we have our friend Lydia Aranda. She'll be talking about things about engagement, and then we have a great lineup throughout the week. Yeah, next week on Friday, we're going to talk to my brother, Dr. Julian Ackerley, who concludes his time at the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. And he's been there for 45 years, and he's retiring after the concerts on the second and third. And he'll be heading to Greece with them and then come back, and that'll be wrap it up for him. So it'll be good to talk to Julian. So thank you for listening. This is KVOI 10:30 a.m., and this is the Morning Voice Wonder. We'll be back on Monday with Lydia Randa, and I'll see you next Friday.